I would say at the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Bet, the Gemara is basically discussing the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara has gone through a number of items that have been Shita of Rabbi Shimon so far. I think that spanned through Shas, but really the Gemara is after our Mishnah, explaining our Mishnah. But because of that, they end up discussing Rabbi Shimon's opinion, bumped into a number of opinions of Rabbi Shimon, one of which is, right, that anything, kodshim, shechaya b'achriutam, kodshim that you're responsible to replace, right, kodshim that you're responsible if it gets lost to fork out money to replace that animal, then it's considered b'shutei demarei kaimin. Right, the first principle of Rabbi Shimon. Second principle that we bumped into of Rabbi Shimon was that dama shchita sheina ruya, shchita that is not a proper shchita, ena kruya shchita. Right, it's not called shchita. In order to be called shchita, it has to give you an animal that others are able to eat. You have to end up with a kosher animal, a shchita that has toelet, that has some benefit in doing the shchita. Then it's called the shchita. But the shchita is invalid, even though it looks like shchita. Right, even though it has all the trappings of a shchita, that is not called shchita. Then we bumped into the next position of Rabbi Shimon, which is Rabbi Shimon's position basically throughout Shas is that kol ha'meid, anything that can happen, you have the ability to happen, as if it's happened. So the principle that the Gemara established over here was trying to discuss was kol ha'meid zrok kizaruk tami, anything that is, you have the ability to do zrikat adam, that is considered as if the zrika was done. Now, at what point does that happen? Tosfos seems to discuss that it's not automatically you shech the animal and that's kizaruk dami, right? But you have to have kabbalat adam. You actually have to be mekabel the dam. And once you're mekabel the dam, which affords you the opportunity to do zrika the dam, and you have enough time to perform the zrika the dam, that is considered to be kizaruk dami. It's not just shecht it and it's kizaruk dami. I mean, you have to get to a point where it was possible or plausible that you actually could have done zrika the dam. And the last principle that we established was kol ha'meid liftot kipadui dami. Anything that is, right, has the ability to be nifta, anything that has the ability to be redeemed, it's as if it was redeemed. We consider it to be as if you did actually redeem this item. And we'll see again what the implications of this are. So the Gemara was discussing at the end of this stop, right, was discussing the fact that we have a braisa, right, that supports these two positions. Where do we know this from? Two brachos. So the Gemara has already discussed kol ha'meid zrok kizaruk tami. Now the Gemara is up to the point of discussing the kol ha'meid liftot kipadui dami. How do we know that once something is omeid liftot, right, it's ready to be redeemed, that is kipadui dami, as if it's redeemed. Titania. Remember brachos, the last line on Ayin Vav and Mibet, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, para mitamei tumat ochlim. Para can't have tumat ochlim associated with it. Because at a moment when it was, had that ability to be eaten. It had a moment in which it could have been eaten. Since there was a moment at which the para duma could have been eaten, therefore takes on a shame ochel. If it takes on a shame ochel, then it can be involved in the parsha of tumat ochlim. Amar on this, Reish Lakish says, Omer ayah Rabbi Shimon, para nifdeit al gebi marachata. Again, this is not... This is a Reish Lakish thing. How do we know? Where did Rabbi Shimon get this opinion from? What's the position within Rabbi Shimon that allows him to say such a thing? Because Rabbi Shimon believes that the para duma can be redeemed even when it's sitting on its pyre. Right? When it's about to be burnt and sitting on the pyre, you're able to redeem it. Meaning that if you find a better para duma, somehow you find one that's a better para duma, bigger, redder, whatever the reason is, and you decide you want to bring this other paraduma instead of the one that's on the pyre, you can redeem this paraduma, right? And then put that money towards the other paraduma. So, Reish Lakish says, based on that, that's where we get the position of Rabbi Shimon. Since you could redeem it before it's burnt into ashes, since that moment you could redeem it, that means that the paraduma has the ability to be eaten or turned into ochel at that point in time. Because once you redeem it, what are you going to do with it? You're going to eat it, right? I mean, it's dead, it's shechted, right? You can eat the para aduma. So since you had the ability to be pudeh, you had the ability to redeem it, it could have been ochel. Since it could have been ochel, right, based on the fact that it could have been redeemed, then it takes on tumat ochlim. Even though you never do actually redeem it, it takes on the shame of ochel, and therefore it's mekabel tumat ochlim. Alma, kol ha'meid liftot kipadui dami. Right, so that makes the position of this is supportive of that position, Rabbi Shimon. This is where we know it from the source, that Rabbi Shimon believes that anything that is omeid liftot, that can't be redeemed, is as if it's redeemed. Right now, what we skipped on the previous Talmud in terms of Tosfos, since we have actually a couple of minutes, just to discuss. What Tosfos is discussing over here is basically, what does it matter that a parah aduma can have too much ochlin? I mean, right. There's so many other things that are associated with parah aduma, right, that can make it into able to accept tuma, that it could have it accept tuma, that it gives off tuma, as Shaul is suggesting. Right, that anybody who's associated works with the parah aduma as of the tamei themselves, plus their begadim, right, what they got tuma tochlim, which is the lower form of tuma. But what's going on here? So Tosfos has to go through. Rashi actually asked this question in Chulin, but Tosfos over here is basically discussing. I'll just point out a couple of quick lines in Tosfos, just so you see what Tosfos is discussing. First of all, we have a principle. The principle in Kodesh, which is called Chibat Kodesh. Chibat Kodesh, when it comes to the love of Kodesh, the love of Kodshim, that it's Machshir, whatever item, it's Machshir, makes it able to accept Tumah, and it makes it into a okel. For instance, the ktoret and the levona, right, which are found in the in the mikdash, even though they're not oklim, right? Despite that fact, the Gemara says that they are able to be mekabel tuma. They don't need a hechsher mekabel tuma, and they are considered qualified or classified as an okel because of chibat kodesh, because of the love of kodesh. So too over here. Why don't we just apply the same principle to the parah aduma? That's the first question. You can say chibat kodesh. You say chibat kodesh, parah aduma is kodesh. So when you say chibat kodesh, it could be mukshel kabel tuma. It is an ochel. What do I need tuma tochlin for at all? You could have gotten into this situation or this solution even without ever coming up to the principle of Rabbi Shimon. So the first answer that Tosfos gives says the territory on this point, ain't chibat kodesh mo'elet. Ella the shavyash ain ochel ke ochel. What chibat kodesh allows you to do is turn something that is not ochel into ochel, right? Kigon notar upara shehen chashuvim ke afra, things that are already ashes, veitzim ulevona, things that are non right edible items. It has the ability to change them into quote unquote edible items. Ava davar shu ochel, right? Something that's already ochel, el shehen mekabel tuma, but doesn't have the ability to mekabel tumah, right? Because of whatever the situation is, right? Rabbi Shimon Meshom, the ochel ein atay yechol achilo lacherim. What's the reason for Rabbi Shimon? Shimon says the only type of ochel that is mekabel tumah is that you can feed it to others, that others could eat such an ochel. So over here, the parah aduma would be precluded from that, because nobody can eat the parah aduma. So chibat kodesh is not going to have here. The parah aduma is already ochel, just not an ochel that can be consumed by others. Therefore, lo yo'il chibat kodesh asot yisur kumutar. That won't change. Chibat kodesh doesn't change something that is not mutar to eat into something that is mutar to eat to make it into ochel. That's just one principle that Tosfos asks. The second question that Tosfos asks, for instance, is based on Rashi. Rashi asks this in Chulin. Rashi says, lama li kabbalat tuma, typically the hi gufa metama adamu begadim. This is what Shaul was saying. I mean, what do you need tuma dochlin for? Paro duma in a sense exudes tuma, that anybody gets involved with it is not themselves going to be tuma to goop, plus they're going to have tuma begadim. What do I need tuma dochlin for?
The game where we in the Gemara.
Oh, very good. So that's excellent. That's one of Tosfos' answers later on. Rashi over here says, well, the first answer that Rashi gives, which Tosfos later rejects, Rashi says it has to do with tuma dochlin. Tuma dochlin as a din. Right, that it has to be a kabesa of ochel in order to pass on tumah. Rashi has a position throughout Shas that anything, an ochel koshu can be mekabel tumah, but to pass on tumah, it has to be the size of a kabesa. Tosfos disagrees throughout Shas. Tosfos says that in order to receive tumah, you have to be a kabesa, and to pass on tumah, you need to be a kabesa. Over here, Tosfos actually points out that Rashi, on this situation, seems to be agreeing with him, that he was close every shitato. But anyway, Rashi says, what happens if I put sick? I have a piece of dough that's not the size of a kabeza. I have a piece of dough that's not the size of a kabeza that's right up against this parah aduma. Now, all right, if I need to have a kabeza to be ochel, and somebody's touching this kabeza, this dough that's not a full kabeza, does it have tumat ochlim or not? That'll depend on whether the parah aduma is mitzarek. Right? Does it join to this kabeza? That's what Rashi says. That's what Nafkamina. Nafkamina has to do with this in Tumat Ochlim, something when something's attached to it or near it, whether it can be mitzareh to make it into Tumat Ochlim. Tosfos for numerous reasons rejects it, right? But right here, the other question Tosfos has is, we have another principle in Tumah, which is anything Tumah that is so full that to make Tumah Chamura, right? That doesn't require Hechsher, doesn't require Hechsher to Kabel Tumah. That's something that in the end will become a much higher form of Tumah, then it's considered after it's Mukhshah to Kabel Tumah right away. So also here, by the Parah Tumah, it's going to end up in a much higher form after you shecht and you burn it and make it dash. It's going to end up forming a much higher level of Tumah. By having association with the higher level Tumah, what do I need it to be Ochel now? It's automatically Mukhshar, the Kabel Tumah, at this point in time. It already has like a din, quote unquote, a din of Ochel up front. Alright, so now, the Tosfos gives a couple of answers here. I'll try to read you some of them quickly. Tosfos distinguishes in all these cases between the Parah Tumah and these principles of Tumah, and saying that it can't, the reason we need Tumat Ochel over here is because when it comes to all these principles that we've established in other places, those principles are not necessarily applicable in our instances of Parah Tumah. Like, for instance, the issue that if somebody becomes Tumah Chumrah afterwards, right, then it automatically is Mukshar Lekabel Tumah. Why don't we apply that over here? So Tosfos distinguishes, the Reed distinguishes over here, that, nevertheless, that even though when it, someone is Mitatzik or gets involved with something that is Tumah Chumrah, that is only that it's Hukshar. It's considered Hukshar if it touched the Sheretz. But it does not make it into Ochel. I mean, that's one of the main issues here that we have, is that according to Rabbi Shimon, the only way something's an Ochel is if it's Mutar to eat it. So even though in general we say that something is, in the end, going to have to be Tumah Chumrah, as if it was Mukshar the Kabbal Tumah, as if it has a status of being touched by a Sheretz, that only helps you, the Gabay, something that is qualified or classified as an Ochel. Problem over here is that the Parah Tumah never got to the status, never reached that point where it's classified as a Ochel. So that jump, or that ability to get onto the point of being an Ochel, is something that's lacking in the Parah Tumah. And that's what we need Rabbi Shimon for. Rabbi Shimon over here teaches that Echol HaOmed Lidot, Kipadui Dami, allows the Parah Tumah to get to a point, or a status of Ochel. Once it reaches the status of Ochel, then you can apply all these other principles, because now it's an Ochel. But without it being an Ochel, right, then you can't, even though these principles might apply, they don't help you, because you don't, these principles only apply when something is an Ochel. Right, so that's one thing that the Tosfos points out.
And then, is enough Kamina the Maish, just like a theoretical explanation.
I mean, according to Rabbi Shimon, right? Rabbi Shimon, it might be in Rabbi Shimon that this is an issue, because Rabbi Shimon says it has to be Royal Achilat Achirin. Right, there is, Tosfos over here brings down actually that there are three opinions. It's Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon who disagree about what the status of these items are. It says you can distinguish that here. Whereas the Tosfos brings down, there's actually a three-way machlokish, right, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Here, Hashem pligid Rabbi Meir Savar, Tamash Sopla, Tamei Tumach Hamura, Mo'il Lechashev Achila. Right, so that's Rabbi Meir's position. What you're saying, what's the Nafkamina? Rabbi Meir says that as soon as you can reach Tumach Hamura, it's like Ochel. So according to them, there is no Nafkamina. Rabbanan Savre, the Paro Parim Dafka Metamei, Velosir Mishtalech, Veshum Deinu Mo'il Lechashev Ochel. Right, that doesn't work to make it into Ochel. And Rabbi Shimon, Savre Dafka Paro, right, so there you have different levels. Rabbi Meir says all these principles allow you to get to the point of Ochel. The Chum say they make you when it is right, Ra'ui La'Achila, then it lets you get there. When it's not Ra'ui La'Achila, it doesn't. And then you have Rabbi Shimon says that you actually have to make it into Ochel. You have to actually reach a point where it could be Ochel, and others could eat it. And that's only if you have Shat Kosher. So this principle might only be Rabbi Shimon Lashitato who needs, right, this principle of being ma'achilet to achirim. Right,
just fine.
I'm saying that it is fine, but it's just, right, how broad the implications are, right, will have to do with what you think you need in order to make this for just for a flavor for what Tosfos is after. There are a lot of technical issues, but the issues of why you need all of this. And now, the Gemara says, Bishlamo Rabbi Yochanan Mo'amar Keresh Lakish. Now, if you remember, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagreed on how to come up with the case in our Mishnah. So one of the answer of Rabbi Yochanan was, we were talking about a karbon that was a tamim that you brought to the Mikdash and then he spilled the blood. Right, that was the case. And Reish Lakish said, no, it was a mum, it was a baal mum that you could have been nisteh, right, that you could have or redeemed it. Right, or the other possibility of Rabbi Yochanan was what, that it was a tamim that he did lo l'shem palim. So by Rabbi Yochanan, the solution is that it's a regular behemah, that you did something wrong in the process of being makriv that behemah, and that's why it's not considered that you gave it back to the original balim. Shimon Lakish says no, it was a balmom that had to be redeemed, and that's why it's the that's why over here it's not classified as being the owner's animal. So now the Gemara says Bishlam or Rabbi Yochanan lo makriv Lakish. Right, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't know like Shimon Lakish. The Kabbai that was called Matis and Afilu B'Tzmimim. He wants to explain our Mishnah that says Ganav V'Kidesh and Davachu Machar. He wants to explain that even according with Behemot Mimot of Kodesh, because it's a Dochak. Because it's only talking about Balimumim. Right, it says Kodesh. Kodesh can apply even to Tzmimim. Reish Lakish, my time alone, Mark Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Reish Lakish use the answers of Rabbi Yochanan? Amelacha Utvacho Umecharot. That the pasuk says, what the two possibilities of paying Dalva Hey? One is Tzvicha Shechita, the other one is selling it. Kohecha de'ita b'mechira, ita b'tzvicha. Anyway, you could sell it, then you can be shechted. Kohecha de'ita b'mechira, let it be tzvicha. Anyway, you can't sell it, then there is no tzvicha. Behane kodshim hol dechim zavim kodshim lohav yemechira, let no b'tzvicha. Kodesh, you cannot sell. Kodesh, you don't have the ability to sell Kodesh. It's not within your rights to sell Kodesh. You can't be mafkia, the rights or the ownership of Kodesh, because Kohecha de'ita, wherever it is, right, it's owned by Kodesh, don't buy a Kodesh Baruch. Kodesh will carry you. So you can never sell Kodesh. So since you can never sell Kodesh, Rishai says there's no application of Tzvicha by something that you cannot sell. That's obviously only applicable by Tzmimim. Right? Kodesh doesn't sell Tzmimim. Tzmimim can never be redeemed. When you come to Bali Mumin, Kodesh can sell them. I mean, that's exactly what you're doing. You sell them in order to replace that item with another item, right? You take that out, you redeem it, and then the money becomes Kodesh. The Reish Lakish says there's no application of Tzvicha Mechira by Kodesh to Mimim. There's only application by Balei Mumim. This machlokas between them appears in another location. What is that? Someone who sells a trefa. Someone steals a trefa and then sells it. Right? Now, the Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Right? According to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav. Rabbi Yochanan says you're Chayav. Reish Lakish Amar Patur. Reish says you're Patur. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav Af Agav Delete B'Tzvicha Ite B'Mechira. So even though you cannot be Toveach in here, why? Because if you shecht it, what are you going to end up with? You're going to end up with a Trefa. A Trefa is not kosher. So according to Chachamim, it's not a problem because any Shechita is considered Shechita, even though you can't eat it afterwards. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that a Shechita Ruyah is the only thing that's classified as a Shechita, here when you shecht this Trefa, you can't eat it afterwards. That's not a good Shechita. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, since you're what? Even though you cannot do a shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can still sell it and be chayav dal behei. Reish Lakish Amar Patur. Kevin Delete B'Tzvicha, Lete B'Mechira. Since you can't shecht it, according to Rabbi Shimon, then you can't have Mechira, according to Rabbi Shimon. So selling a trefa will not end you up with a punishment of dal behei. Because it's mukka from the parsha of dal behei.
Reish Lakish, he can be smart, he can get out of the chiyuv b'chlal and trade it up.
Alright, I mean, if he still raised it, good point, but then why is he shechting it? You know, the purpose of shechting the animal, right, is, I assume, to eat it, right, is ganav. Why is he shechting the animal? In order to have achila, I mean, why would he just, if he wants to kill it, he doesn't need shechita, right? So I'm assuming he doesn't want to make it into a trefa, then he loses it there. Right, so then he doesn't need to get to do shechita, he can just kill the animal anyway. Right, that he's doing shechita seems to imply that he is wanting to eat it. If he makes it into a trefa, then he's lost the value of doing a shechita. Right, ganav kilayim. Right, he steals kilayim. Now kilayim over here is a behemah that was made from a right mixed marriage. Right, and it says what is this? He took a goat and a sheep and produced a behemah kilayim. The utvacha, right, and he shechts it. Trefa umechara, and a trefa, and then he sells it. Mishalem tashlumi arba b'chamisha. He's paid four or five times. So now, my love, Rabbi Shimon, the author of this brisa is Rabbi Shimon. How do you know this? Why? Because I'm a forgot to let it be tzvicha, ita b'mechira. And even though you don't have tzvicha, ita b'mechira. Why is this? Because where do we see the problem? We see that the brisa sets up that the only time you can do a trefa, right, is by mechara. Right, you can only do a, when it comes to a trefa, shechita won't work. Whose opinion is it that says ben trefa you cannot do, right, a shechita? That is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. According to Chachamim, ben trefa you can do a regular shechita. So the fact that the Brisa says by treifa that you can be mocher implies what? Implies that it's you're allowed to do mechira, and this is according to the one who says that you couldn't do tzvicha, you couldn't do shechita. Who's the one who says you can't do shechita by a treifa? That's Rabbi Shimon, because you need a shechita ha-ru'ya. And nevertheless, he says umechara, that it works, the mechira works. The Maharishi says, so that's a good proof to me that Rabbi Shimon would agree that mechira works, even though there's no tzvicha. Amalei, lo, Rabbanon, it's the Rabbanon. The Maharishi says, Rabbanon, treifa b'mechira, yita b'tzvicha leta. Says, wait, according to the Rabbanon, you could, why do you need only have mechira by treifa? Even a shechita would work by a, you'd have to pay dal behe by a treifa, because they don't require a shechita ha-re'uya. Right, so what are you going to suggest to me? This is what Rabbi Shimon says, we're open. It's Rabbi Shimon, the author of this braisa. Says, kil'ayim b'tzvicha yita b'mechira leta. Oh, kil'ayim, that you gave us the first example here in the Mishnah, what, you could only shecht kil'ayim, you can't sell kil'ayim? Why should there only be one instance where you can get the dal behe by kil'ayim? You should be able to both issues. You should be able to shecht it, and you should be able to sell it. Ella, tana tzvicha, v'adin l'mechira. He says that according to me, and that's what I'm explaining over here, that the din is the same by tzvichu mechira, right? So that is, but you have to explain to Rabbi Shimon, so emel rabbanon nami, you could say the same thing to rabbanon. Tana mechira, v'adin l'tzvicha. That just like here, the Brisa just gave one example in each instance, according to the chachamim. I didn't want to say mitzvicha mechira again. And Rabbi Yochanan says, wait, that doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yochanan amar lecha, hi mai, how can you explain it this way? Iyamar bishlomo Rabbi Shimon, if you explain that the position here is Rabbi Shimon, I did the tana treifa b'chado tana kil'ayim, right, b'chado. So since by treifa you had to give one instance, which is only, right, mechira, and not shechita, because according to Rabbi Shimon you can't have shechita by treifa, so then tana kil'ayim b'chado. Then you can explain why in parallel structure the Brisa only mentioned the mechira, tzvicha by kilayim. That can explain it. What? I'm sorry, what?
See, for parallel search, why don't you use the opposite one? Same
thing,
mechira as opposed to...
He says, I can explain your position. Rishlach says it's parallel structure also for the chachamim. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying that according to Rishlach, it's mukhrach that you have to use this problem. Why? Because he can only explain treifa, according to Shimon. Treifa only has the application of mechira and not tzvicha. So therefore, by kilayim, I can explain why they only used one and not two instances, because it had to be one instance by mechira. But now, according to you, Reish Lakish, according to Chachamim, you could have both mechira and tzvicha in both instances. So then why did you give one example in each one? I mean, if you wanted to have there's no reason to say parallel structures. You should have just given, put them all together and written it as one shot. That's what he says now. Ela yah marz rabbanan narvinu v'nitninu. Write it as one big package. Ganav kilayim v'treifa, tvachanu mecharan, mishalem teshlumi arva chamisha. You can make it into one big. You don't need this whole concept of parallel structure, because according to you, we're talking about the chachamim. Chachamim say tzvichu mechira works either way. So just put it into one big package. According to me, at least, I can explain to you why he separated them out. Because by treifa, it's only mechira and not tzvicha. Therefore, for parallel structure, he did the same thing by kilayim. We couldn't put them together, because it's not true of kilayim. Kilayim can be done by both instances. So where it says kasha. Right, so that's a problem for Reish Lakish. It's a problem for Reish Lakish. Right now, the Gemara says kilayim. By kilayim, what's the din of kilayim? The Gemara has a principle, which we're going to see in a second, that is seh ktif. The pasuk says seh. And Rova has a binyan av. Any place in Torah says comes to exclude kil'ayim. So the word seh is found over here by Dalet v'chamisha. If you remember when we did the pasuk of Dalet v'chamisha, which is in Mishpatim Perchav Aleph pasuk Ramazayim, it says ki gnov ish shoro seh, hu tuvachol mecharo chamisha pavka yishleim takad ashor v'arbetzon takad aseh. Our Gemara discussed that one of the seh and one of the varim, you have twice shore and twice seh. The Gemara says that was extraneous. And the Gemara says that one of the seh of the ratio and the shore of the seifa is extraneous. And because of that, we have limudim. So that seh, right, over here, the word seh is used. When the word seh is used over here, that should imply seh and not kilayim. Seh and not kilayim would mean that any kilayim, anything that's made of kilayim, meaning that anything that's a mixed breed, right, would be precluded from dalet hay according to Rova's binyanav. Right, anytime you use the word seh throughout the Torah, it means that animal in particular, and not a mixed breed. So Mar says, if that's the case, how can I have an instance where kilayim is going to be chayev dalet v'chamisha? So Mar says, shiny hochav. Over here it's different. The Amakra, O, the Rabot is a kilayim. So it says, O is a rivoy. Now the Gemara says that O is a rivoy over here, but again, because we already have an extraneous set and shore, so we know we're already being merabeh, other items, so the word O is also a rivoy. So the Gemara says, an issue for everybody. Why is kilayim chayv dalet v'hei? Because it should have been precluded from the word set. The word O comes to say, no, don't preclude the kilayim over here, because O is a rivoy. So the Gemara says, we're called O the Rabotu. Every O in the Torah is a rivoy. Batanya, shor of chesivoyis. Right, when it comes to shor chesivoyis, prat, l'kilayim, comes to exclude kilayim. O'ez, prat l'nidmeh. L'nidmeh is a concept or a principle that if an animal is born to, for instance, two skvasim, but does not look like its parents, I mean, for some reason it looks like a different animal, or it looks like an animal that's me'ah, then we don't bring that. I mean, it has some, we consider it to be precluded from the din of regular animals. So Amarava, Rabbi says, wait, I'll explain this to you. Ha chamin yane dekra. Ha chamin yane dekra. Look at the context. You gotta look at the context. Ha chagabe gnev aktiv shoro seh. When he's talking about shoro seh, shi atay yecholo tikelayim b'nehem. If you would have a mixed breed between a shor and a seh, you cannot create an animal. Shor and seh cannot produce kilayim. So the Torah uses as examples shoro seh, it already tells you kilayim is not an issue. Why? Because they can never come to be kilayim. Therefore, O is the rabbi's kilayim. O comes to tell you, include kilayim in this instance. Whereas, Gabi Kotshim dechtiv ketzev ve'ez. When you're talking about a ketzev and an ez, you're talking about a goat and sheep, right? A goat and a lamb. They could mix breed. In that case, since you could produce kilayim from that animal, therefore the O is the ma'ez, comes to teach you, don't, right, include kilayim. Because O is referencing the context in which it's found. Oh, between shor and chesed, right, is meaningless, because there is no kilayim here to say that you're going to exclude them. So O is the rabot kilayim, you say it's a rivoy. On the other hand, when you're talking about shor and a, well, I'm kesev and a's can produce kilayim, so the O comes to tell you, don't include kilayim in this instance. So now the problem with that is, you tell me, what did the pasuk say? Right? But they only quoted you part of the pasuk. The pasuk says, shor, o chesed, o a's. Right, so he quoted the Kesef Oeis. What about there's also Shor Kesef right before that? That has the same context. Right, so all the Mameitu. But God says, V'hagabi called Shim Nami Nehemar Shor Kesef. The first O is Shor Kesef, the second O is Kesef Oeis. Right, so Ein Atay Yecholo Tzikilayim Yibinayim. V'nirbe Mimitzeit. So God says, V'nirbe. So he says, V'nirbe says, no, Mimitzeit for Mamaeit, Reisha Nami Mamaeit. Since the Kesef Oeis is a miyot, so too, the Shor Kesef is a miyot. It says, Adar Abba. Maybe the Reisha Lo Abot. Mourn the first O as a reboy between Shor and Chesef. And then say, Benav Adar Abot. And then you make O A's to be a reboy. Haimai. Mar says, how can you do this, right? I amaj bishlam alam ha'etu. If you say it comes to exclude the itch tre miute, then I need two miute. The ga'af agav im ameit im ayit kilayim. Even though I excluded kilayim, it starts from miute nidmeh. I still have to exclude nidmeh. Why? Kilayim, which is a mixed breed, once I'm in ma'ayit, that does not necessarily say that a nidmeh is not good to bring as a korban. Why? Because a nidmeh is not a mixed breed. It came from two similar parents, right? They were the same breed, two sheep, right? Two lambs, two goats, right? So it is not a mixed breed, and it's not kilayim, even though it looks different than its parent. So that, you would have said, you could have brought it as a korban. So I need a second meal to tell me even a nidmeh is excluded. Eliyah Bar's Lara both, right? If you say it comes to include, trei ribui lama. Why do I need two ribuyim? Why? Ashta kilayim yirbilei, nidmeh mibayit. If I already included kilayim, then certainly a nidmeh can go on the mizbeach. But if I say kilayim is good to go on the mizbeach, where it's actually a mixed breed, right, then certainly something that's not a mixed breed, but just looks like a mixed breed, should be able to go on the mizbeach. Right, so I wouldn't need two ribuyim.
Well, you might have to do exactly the opposite, because who said that I learned first kilayim and then nidmeh? Maybe I should have first.
So the problem is that your limud for kilayim, from rabbi kilayim, is shor ochetem. It would have been the first limud. Right, because that's the first O. Shor, O Chesef, O Eiz. So your first Reboy would have been between Shor, O Chesef. Shor, O Chesef would have taught you Reboy Kilayim. Then I don't need the second O. Right? When you do it to Milut, then it works. Because then Shor, O Chesef comes to be Ma'ez, right? The Kilayim, and then, I mean, Chesef, O Eiz comes to be Ma'ez Kilayim, and then the first one is Ma'ez, Nidman, because over there you have to say that the Kilayim is referencing, right, the issue of Shor HaChesed as the Rivoy. So it has to be in the first Rivoy. And once you have that, you don't need Nidman. The other way around, if you learn that it's a Miyot, then you have to learn that from Shor, if you learn from Kesev Leis, then you can use the first O for Nidman. That's why you have to do it. Right, just one point, we'll leave with this. Gemara is going to tomorrow discuss this principle of Rava, right? But the question is where it's applicable. Where did Rava get this principle? Rava just says, anywhere it says Seth, okay, it's, where do you get this? It's not in Lai, Kilayim. Where do you get it? Makokas Rashi and Tosfos, where you got it from? Rashi says in Gemara and Kukulin that the Bnei Nav says, Shor, when it says, Viksiv Shor, Sek Tavim, Se Izim. So the Torah, the fact that it went out of its way to say Se, that comes from Kivasim, and Se Izim, it tells you that not Se in general, right? You could have just used Se in general. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way and says Sek Vatim and Se Izim tells you that there's two different types of Se. There's a Se that's a product of Vatim, and there's a Se that's a product of Izim. If it just used the word Se without any modification, it would have told you that any type of Se, whether it comes to Vatim, Izim, or a mix, it would have been fine. So the fact that it makes Sek Vatim, Se Izim, right, that would have been okay. Now, the Re rejects this, and the Re says actually that it actually comes out of Se of Pesach. The Re says that when the word Se of Pesach, that's extraneous, because there it says Se Tamim, Zachar ben Shana Yelachem. So now, why is that a binyan av for the Torah kula? Because you would have known this principle, right? That of a binyan av, right? Even with from other kachim, right? That by when it comes by kachim, right? You know already a principle from kachim, general kachim, that kilayim is excluded from regular kachim. So therefore, the word seh over here by Pesach, from the Pesach, is extraneous.
The first time it says seh.
But now, once we have kachim, we know a principle by kachim, you do not need that. Once you have a principle by kachim, you can't bring kilayim. Then Pesach is kachim. Once Pesach is kachim, you wouldn't need a pasach.
And if you know this already from the rest of kachim, why by Pesachim does it have to say mina kvasim or mina izim? So that need to say kvasim u'mina izim comes to teach you or build a binyan av that anytime the word seh, which is also used by Karban Pesach, means seh, uniquely seh, and nothing that is a kilayim. I mean, it has to be either mina kvasim or mina izim, but not kvasim and izim together, and that's the binyan av, the cholatura kula. So Rashi says it comes from the fact by the pasuk, by kashus, it says, zot ha-beimah asher tochelu, shor, sek savim, v'seizim. It could have just said, instead of saying shor sek kvasim zeizim, it could have just said shor sek kvasim and izim. Why does it separate out sek savim and se izim? Identify them separately as one se being savim and one se being izim. Comes to tell you that either it's a se from the kvasim or a se from izim, but it cannot be a se that comes from both of them together. That's Rashi's limud, whereas Tosfos says, no, it comes from the Yitura by Psachim, that we would have known from Kodshim anyway, and the fact that it's now mentioned by Psachim gives us the opportunity to learn out a binyanav, l'chol haturah kula. Okay, we'll stop here.